Welcome to the Bible Talks with Josh and Heather.
The Bible Talks is a show that discusses deep theology in a simple format.
So if you're interested in theology, doctrine, but don't consider yourself a doctor of the scripture, then this show is for you.
This is episode 31, so at this point we just kind of, you know, just play with it, right?
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of ad-libbing that's going on, which obviously our audience finds extremely charming.
Yes. I'm Heather, and this is Josh.
We can find this episode and previous on iTunes Podcast or at KVXL 101.1 Experience Liberty Radio.
Oh, yes. But first, we've got to start with something a little bit off topic.
Okay, let's do our fun time.
Okay, Josh, here we are, episode 31, and it's time for our opening question. Are you ready, sir?
Yes, I'm absolutely ready for this. I don't know what you're going to say, though. So what exactly are you going
to say? Okay, I think I know your answer to this one.
Okay.
So let's see if I'm right. If you could have a $500 gift card to any store, which store would you choose?
Huh. A $500 gift card to any store.
Yes.
Which store would I choose? It begins with a K. And ends with an Ohl's.
Okay, I was wrong.
Yeah.
I know
Kohl's.
You love Kohl's, but I was totally going with those nice shoes. What are those shoes called, that brand of shoes that you love? Oh, my goodness, I'm blanking on the
Payless?
Name. No, you love some fancy boy shoes.
I'm a fancy boy when it comes to my shoes. Hey, look, if there's a man listening to this right now, don't judge me. Because you got your little fancy boy chrome bumper on your F-350.
There it is.
That's really shiny and fancy.
You always go after the guys with the truck.
That's because I'm intimidated as a man by dudes with big trucks.
Okay.
Honestly. But look, I like me some fancy shoes, and I like multiple kinds of shoes. Were you thinking DSW?
No, there's a one brand that you love. I know you get them on clearance.
Florshine.
Florshine.
They're so expensive.
Yeah, I know
ones.
You get them on clearance a lot of times at different stores.
Expensive.
But that was like if he had $500 straight up.
No.
Florshine.
No. Because I could buy a couple pair of shoes and a bunch of other clothes and for my family and my wife.
Wow.
That's what I would do. All of it I would buy for you.
Amazing.
That's not true. I would consume it upon my own lusts, and I would give myself new clothes.
Okay.
What about you? $500. Oh, let me guess.
You're going to get it wrong because I know what you're going to say.
You think I'm
going to say. At the same time, I'm going to say what I think you're going to say.
And ready? I'm going to say what you think I'm going to say what you think I'm going to say, which is not what I'm going to say. Ready? 1, 2, 3. White
Goodwill
House
clearance.
Black Market. Oh!
Was Goodwill clearance what you were going to say?
No, I was going to say White House Black Market, that I know that that's not what you like anymore. And I know you like Goodwill, but I know that you would not go to Goodwill with $500.
Oh, really? Well, let's talk about that real quick. So I'm in a mania right now. I go through manias,
my
as my husband calls them.
It's
and my most recent one, my sister-in-law, Charity, is amazing, and she taught me about Goodwill Clearance Center. It's not a Goodwill, y'all. I can't do Goodwill.
This
I'm
is what I want our audience
shopper.
To do. Email Heather 1 year from now and ask her if she's still going to Goodwill.
You can. I may not be, but I'm in the midst of, when we moved into our current house like 8 years ago, it was twice the size of our old house. So we only had half the furniture to fill it. We had patios and everything with no furniture. So I've been working on all these spaces and I don't want to spend a bunch of money. We just had a stewardship campaign. So
right,
I'm like,
I'd
rather give stuff to the Lord, you know, and stuff like that. So I don't want to. And then some of it's outside and I just think it's going to get ruined anyway. We live in a desert with heat and wind and dirt. So Goodwill Clearance Center, they sell stuff by the pound. I got a stool there, y'all, a vanity stool, brand new, 99 cents, folks. Like
they sell
furniture, $1.99. Yeah, well, stools are always, I don't get that. Stools apparently
we bought tomatoes
are always
there the other day at Goodwill.
Oh, my word. They don't sell food.
Oh.
But
where
I have gotten,
that?
Like,
where
I got a big Tuscan iron frame thing for, like, $3.99. I got something for outside that's iron for $1.99. It is amazing. It is so much fun. It's like a treasure hunt. And if you've got a lot of different things you're looking for, especially things that you're willing to put chalk paint on because you don't have to sand most of the time if you use chalk paint, it is amazing. But no, I would not choose $500 to Goodwill clearance because honestly, I like usually get out of there for $5 or $10. My ever spent, I think, was right under $10. So it's amazing the stuff you can walk out of there with so cheap.
Can I just stop
so where
and
do
say
you think I would
I'm
be going?
I'm having a great time right now, enjoying this moment.
Okay.
I'm eating chocolate. I'm talking to my friend, Heather, who I married, my other friend, Crystal, who's just a friend. And this is a great moment. And wherever you are, listening to this podcast, can you just breathe and just enjoy this moment?
That is so odd. Like, it was so off topic.
Sometimes you just have to stop and just thank God for the moment. And that's what I did.
Okay.
All right.
Give thanks always, brother. All right. So where was the story you thought I would say?
What are we talking about?
See, this is weird because men are supposed to have these minds that stay focused. You're in the room. You're in the box. And I'm the one that's supposed to be all over the place with the spaghetti or wire or whatever illustration you use.
All right. Here it is. I think.
And so
the
you just
story
you didn't
choose,
answer that. You just went back to the other thing. Yeah,
I'm
it's just crazy.
Box.
Okay. All right. I'm going to try to follow you. This is really difficult, though, to follow your train of thought. And they say we girls do this.
The store you would choose to spend $500 as
yes.
a gift card.
You're never going to guess it.
Papa John's.
Oh, my word. That's like almost hurtful.
Why? You love Papa John's?
I do love Papa John's.
Uh-huh.
But like to say that and? In front of all of our friends here.
They know it
like,
too.
Like I'm a pig.
No,
like
you're not.
That my heart is, what? You know, your treasure is where your heart is or something like that. Is that in the Bible somewhere?
It's in the Bible.
As we do the Bible talks.
Why is that insulting? Because you, look at you. You're amazing. You
look
good.
At you. Did you?
And you like
fewer
pizza?
Listeners. I always say
I did.
Viewers.
I said, look at you.
Did you hear him? He
look
just
you.
Said, look
you
at
look
you.
You look good. You're beautiful. And you like
and
pizza.
And you look like you would
you
like $500 to Papa John's. That's what I'm hearing, Josh.
When I look at you, I think this woman wants $500 to Papa John's.
He just knows that I get very romantical when he offers to get me pizza. I
my
love
wife
pizza.
Is. My wife is. This is great. All I got to do is say we're getting pizza, and she's like. Awesome.
Yeah, I get all
fantastic.
Snuggly. Okay, no, seriously, though. I don't want $500. Can you not guess where I want it from?
Yes, you
it's
want
really boring.
You want $500 to Target.
No. Home Depot, because
Home Depot.
I really have my mind
on... You are
on,
the man in this relationship.
I have my mind on a water softener. Hard water is
yeah.
destroying our house and my yeah. life. And so I need a water softener, and that would help me save up for
that's
it. There it is.
That's why our skin looks the way it does.
Yes.
If any
See,
of you people
you, if
from
you
the
look
South,
at me, you shouldn't think Papa John's. You should right. like that woman needs a water softener.
If you people from the South are looking at me,
oh
yes,
word.
We live in the desert. It's like Moses over here. You
yes.
understand? 40
oh,
years in the
goodness.
Desert. That's why our skin is the way it is.
Yes. So bad. Okay.
My hair's turning gray.
But do you know what's not bad, what's really good, and what's amazing?
It's turning gray. Starting to.
Josh, do you know what's not bad?
What?
The desert's bad, but do you know what's not bad?
You know what's not bad?
The Holy Spirit. He's very good.
We're getting very good at this way on episode 31. On episode 31,
oh my goodness.
Now talking about the Holy Spirit. This is part three
yes.
of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, which we've been making our way through. And today we're going to talk about its gifts, graces, and blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. What is all that about?
Blasphemy.
I feel like you shouldn't say it that way, especially when we're about to talk.
Well, no, we're going to explain what it is, and it's this big, scary thing
yeah, so,
to people, and everybody's worried about committing
no,
it.
No, I know, but people
so,
I've talked to, Christians,
what is
they
blasphemy?
Are, they're probably church members right now that are worried. I've talked with members
Someone
of the church.
Someone just turned off this
in,
podcast because they're like, uh-uh.
Yeah. Oh, I may have just committed it by hearing
Listening
that.
Listening to it.
So many people are very concerned about committing the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, because if you do, you don't go to heaven and all of this.
Oh, we are not getting there yet. We got to start with the gifts.
Okay. All right.
Right? Aren't we going to go
Look,
kind
one of
of
the great truths about work. The Holy Spirit is this.
Yes.
Is that he not only seals you and sanctifies you, but he also gives you gifts.
And these are so confusing to me.
Okay. Well, what's okay. confusing about
I know
the
there's
Let's
nine of them.
It. Yeah.
But when we go through it, okay, first of all, I know they're not supposed to things that are naturally part of your personality, but I feel like the thing that I always test in, because I've done the test, okay,
mm-hmm.
and I know supposedly what my spiritual gifting is, but it also goes along with my natural temperament. I mean, which is also from God. It's all from him. But do you know what I'm saying? I feel like,
sure.
oh, that's kind of naturally in my wheelhouse.
Right.
So, okay. and it's not supposed to be from what I always hear.
So there are two main
so
theories.
Explain that.
There are two main theories on the gifts. Oh, well, there's many theories on the gifts of the Spirit. But there are two primary ones in the non-charismatic realm of evangelicalism. And that is the first being that the gifts of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is the gift. So if you read people like Henry Blackaby in Experiencing God, he says, don't focus on which gift you have. Focus on you have the Holy Spirit. He is the gift, and he can allow you to do any of these things at any time that they're necessary. I love this theory.
Yes.
And the idea is if the Holy Spirit in the moment needs to give you wisdom, he will. Knowledge, he will. Faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning, tongues, interpretations, or in some modern groups listening. It might be the gift of administration or the gift of mercy or the gift of giving. The Holy Spirit is the gift, and he'll empower you to do any of those things when you need it.
Hold
and
the
that's
boat.
Why that's why you might seem to have different gifts throughout different times of your life.
Okay.
Yeah.
I read Experiencing God, and by the way, I love that book. If you come from a background that has not, like, it taught you the basics of the Holy Spirit that we've already kind of talked about what he does and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but maybe you've come from a background that's like, only do what the Bible says and kind of ignores the work of the Holy Spirit, then Experiencing God is the book you need to read, because it
fantastic
really makes you
book.
Aware of how God moves and being sensitive to his Spirit.
Absolutely.
Do not read Forgotten God, because that was... the basics. If you need the basics on
Francis
the Holy Spirit.
Francis Chan's Forgotten God.
Yes.
You think it's going to be more. And again, we're not
about
being critical
the forgotten
of it.
God.
It's really good, but it's baseline.
Yes.
So if you're new to the Holy Spirit, you're
it's
new
a great
to this Christianity,
book to read, then.
Start there. But if you want to go beyond,
yes.
then you need to get Experiencing God by Blackaby. Awesome.
Okay, so I read that book.
I'm eating Cheez-Its right now.
Oh my goodness.
But they're not
you
good.
You went from chocolate to Cheez-Its. That may be why.
Look
and
at these.
Crystal
they're
says they're organic.
Crystal
says somebody out there
they're
is
called,
loving organic.
These are fake Cheez-Its. They're called Annie's Homegrown.
Okay, I just want to point out again
squares.
That we have left the box. Majorly, we've
my
departed
mind is all
from
the
box.
Over the place.
I know what is up.
I'm just
oh my
having
goodness.
A, I'm just having
okay.
a good time.
Okay, I'm going to try to get us back.
Back
so,
on track.
Back to Blackaby. Okay, so
back to Blackaby.
Yeah. So we were talking about Blackaby's book,
oh, yes.
Experiencing God.
I'm back
I love that book, and I haven't read it in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And there was so much I got from it, I probably should read it again. But I didn't remember that concept, because anytime, the majority of time I hear the Holy Spirit
yes.
and the gifts of the Spirit talked about, it is you have this one gift, like you have the gift of administration or
right.
whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it does, and again, it frustrates me, because that would be one of the gifts you would rated in the quiz that you
yeah.
have. But that also goes along with your temperament, which is cleric.
So the other,
which is kind of a leader
right.
and a boss.
So which one is a real gift of the Holy Spirit,
so,
or which one is just a natural... giftiness or personality.
Yeah, I like the idea that you just presented, that he's going to give you what you need when you need it.
All right, so the other theory. The other theory is that there's a specific gift that
mm-hmm.
God has enabled you with, as you see throughout Scripture. It speaks of in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, as you look at Galatians chapter 5, and on, you get different passages that begin to point to different gifts, and that certain Christians can claim certain gifts based on what they believe God has done in their life. So you have spiritual gift tests and these kind of things that take place.
Now, the Galatians passage is actually the fruit of the Spirit, which I've heard it gifts and graces. Now, when we explain the fruit of the Spirit, the idea is that you're going to have these things evidenced in your life when the Holy Spirit is filling you. I believe we talked about that a little bit, the last segment of the Holy Spirit. So are you saying that the theory is that what we call the gifts of the Spirit is actually just... this is who he is and what he does, and if he's living through you, this is what you're going to produce. Are you saying it's like the fruit of the Spirit? Is what that theory says?
No, that theory would say that there are specific gifts. Okay, so there are different passages. Romans chapter 12 says there's the gift of prophecy or mm-hmm. teaching or preaching, the gift of serving, the gift of teaching, the gift of exhortation, the gift of giving, the gift of leadership or administration, mm-hmm. the gift of mercy. These are specific gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 has a different list of gifts. There's nine, the ones we just mentioned. 1 Corinthians, Ephesians chapter 4, some say these are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. So they're different ones. Sometimes people categorize them all together. Sometimes they only take 1 Corinthians 12. Sometimes they only take Romans 12. They develop a spiritual gift test. If you take this test, like a personality test, we can identify which one you are. In my opinion, I'm not opposed to either belief. I think there's some validity to both sides. So land, right, Pastor Josh,
well,
like
that
the side.
Is just walking that fence.
I'm walking the fence, baby. I think Blackaby has a great point, and the great gift is the Holy Spirit, and he can help you in any of these things.
And the danger would be like what we've talked about with personality tests, that we just say, oh, that's who I am or who I'm not.
Right.
And the truth is, if God's calling you to something or if there's a need for it as a Christian, the Holy
right.
Spirit can give you the ability to do that. But continue on.
But then I would also say that I've come across people throughout my life that clearly have, for example, the gift of giving. I mean, they're just so generous. And I think that's more than just that's their personality. I think that might be an outworking of the Holy Spirit, or somebody who has the gift of mercy. This is more than their personality. I think they just, maybe it's a special gifting from the Holy Spirit in that time, or maybe somebody who's an incredible teacher, and this is more than just their personality or skill set. This is their gift from the Holy Spirit to the church. So I don't know. I am not going to take a definitive stand. I'm going to say I like both theories. So there you go.
Well, I'm just going to say I'm still confused.
Well, you will be.
I'm looking at the one list from 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11.
Yeah.
And it's not the one, like, mercy isn't really in there. So, I mean, you've got wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, which is preaching, discerning, tongues, interpretation.
Okay, and or you go to Romans chapter 12 is the list you're more familiar with, the one we were trained under. Prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, or mercy. So there are different theories on this. What we do know is the Bible says that the Holy Spirit gifts the believer when he's indwelt. So if you didn't know that, go back to lesson 1 and 2 on the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Holy Spirit blesses us, whether that be with himself solely, and then he empowers us when we come to these moments, or with a special gift as categorized in Romans or 1 Corinthians or Ephesians. Well, who's to say? And everybody, some pastors out there listening, be like, I'm the one to say, okay, I get it. So we have different thoughts on this. And so there's the gift of the Spirit. Where it gets really controversial is to find out or to discuss which of these gifts of the Spirit have ceased.
Oh, my goodness. If I wasn't, like, stuck before, here we go. No, because we've talked about this. For example, what are the ones that are commonly, I know tongues would be one, the gift of tongues.
So there are several that are
miracles.
Primarily, yes. So there are several ones that are primarily spoken of as having ceased from existence in the modern Christian realm. That would be the gift of prophecy in the sense of I can prophesy over you. I'm going to speak into your life a something that God gave me for you specifically. Then there's the gift of miracles. I'm going to perform a special miracle to prove to you that what I'm about to say is true. There's the gift of healing, somebody who has a special gift to be able to heal others from God. Then there's the gift of speaking in tongues. And that would be the ability to speak in a language that you did not know previous to salvation, but you have the ability for the sake of evangelism and or exhortation or edification of the saints. So sometimes people say, okay, these gifts have ceased and they no longer find themselves in the modern era.
Okay, so let's just get ourselves into a whole lot of trouble by spending a little bit of time on this idea, because this one is fascinating to me, because this is where I will walk the fence a little bit. I used to be one that would say, yes, it's all over. There's none of that going on. And since then, as I've studied the Bible more, I am one that would say, maybe. For example, with tongues, you and I have talked about this. We don't believe in the babbling, you know, the uttering, because the Spirit of God, anytime he works throughout Scripture, you see him pointing not to the person and drawing attention to that person. Nobody was looking at Peter as he was speaking those languages and being like, wow, Peter is so smart. He's amazing. No, they were actually, this is of God, because this man knows nothing. It was pointing, always points to God. And brings attention to the Holy Spirit, not to the person. So something like barking like a dog or something not sense of worthy,
so
like that, is distracting.
Before we move forward, we have to define what speaking in tongues is.
There are
two different theories on speaking in tongues. The first is that tongues is an angelic language, or what some would call ecstatic utterance.
Yes.
That is, there's something spoken. This is not a language that humans speak. It's not a language that anybody knows, but it's something that you ecstatically experience, and you are talking to God in a language not only do others understand, you don't understand yourself. And some would say that that's what's happening in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 8, in Acts chapter 10. That's what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. Now, that's called ecstatic utterance, or the angelic language.
Yes.
I would believe that the Bible is not saying that tongues is an ecstatic utterance or an angelic language, but that tongues is the ability to speak in a language that you've never heard before. So
yes,
when Paul stands up at Pentecost and preaches, he's preaching to a multitude of different nationalities and languages, and he doesn't know these languages, but he speaks with power and clarity, and they hear in their own language that gift of tongues. I believe that's what the New Testament is speaking of. It's important to start there, because we may have listeners that would say, well, I believe in ecstatic utterance, or what we call the angelic language, for private devotional use.
Yes. And so one of the things you and I talked about, the tongues that we're referring to, of course, is speaking in another language that someone else can understand.
Correct.
To point them to God. And we've discussed this, that there might be a case where somewhere, a missionary somewhere, is meeting somebody, or some Christian somewhere is with someone, and the Lord chooses to present the gospel through that person. And I'm not going to say that God will not give that person the ability to present the gospel or point them to Christ in a language they've not learned. I have not had that experience, but I don't know. Do you agree with that, that it could be possible?
Could it be possible? So you're describing the difference between a cessationist, somebody who believes all these specific mm-hmm. gifts have ceased, and a soft cessationist, which is to say, I haven't experienced it, but I'm not going to say categorically it does not exist. And so what you're holding to is a soft cessationist point of view. I believe they may have ceased because I haven't experienced it, but I'm not willing to say they are no longer in existence at all because maybe they've had. So a soft cessationist, by the way, this is all in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 and verse 10 is what we're speaking of. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, looking it up, sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 10, it says, but that when that which is perfect is come, that which is done away, that which is in part shall be done away with. This passage is a cessationist would look to and say, all of those specific gifts will go away when that which is perfect is arrived. And what they point to is that which is perfect is the complete Word of God. And so when the Word of God has been completed and the New Testament is canonized, there's no reason for those gifts. That's what they believe. The rest of that passage goes on to say, when it's I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, but then I would put away childish things. We don't need these things any longer in the modern era. That's how that would be interpreted. So that's what a strong cessationist would be. A soft cessationist would say, I don't see them, but they could be. And these are the examples. Mm-hmm. A missionary from the jungles of Vanuatu comes to you and says, I never learned the language. But I was in a hut with a woman who was dying, and I prayed to God, God, help me to tell her the gospel. And in that moment, I don't know how it happened, but I shared with her the truth of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and she prayed to receive Jesus Christ as her Savior, and I believed that she was born again. And this woman who was saved out of the clutches and the grasp of eternal flames and damnation mm-hmm. was saved because God, in the moment, gave me the gift to speak a language I didn't know.
Yes.
Do I believe that's possible? I would say I have a hard time saying there's no way that could happen. Here's another way, the gift of prophecy. Somebody comes to you after church and says, I don't know, brother, I want to talk with you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like God just wants me to say something to you. I feel like God's going to bless you in this coming year. And I don't know specifics, but I do believe that God's going to bless you. And I love you. And, you know, I just feel like God wants me to pray over you right now. And God, I pray you'd bless Pastor Josh, and I pray that you would do what you plan on doing over this next mm-hmm. year and do something great in his life. Some would say that's the gift of prophecy. And am I saying that
I've been prophesied over.
In that prayer?
Oh, I have a story.
I have in Vegas several times.
My sister-in-law, Brianna, and I were meeting for coffee, and we were going through a study that was kind of on ministry and just talking through some questions and things like that. And we weren't, I don't think we were doing it loud, but we may have had our Bibles out and things. And so we're at a Starbucks, and this young man comes over, and he basically told us which church he was from. And he said, you know, I just want to speak a word of prophecy over you. The Lord's told me. And it was all good stuff. It was like that God is going to use you greatly to reach many people, many women for him, something to that effect. And we were just like, it was weird because we were in a private conversation. Yeah. So that's always weird. But then it was like, okay. And nothing he said is actually untrue in a sense, because we're still serving God and yeah. hopefully reaching people. Huh. But it was one of those things that was kind of like, okay. And so we just said, well, thank you. Then he went back and sat down.
Yeah, so in moments like that, do I sit there and have a little skepticism? Sure, because I'm human.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, these are my thoughts when it comes to the gift of prophecy in that way. Number one, if anything is said that disagrees with Scripture, they're wrong, period.
Right. Absolutely.
Number two, the Bible says, test the prophet to see if what they say comes true.
And that's in 1 Thessalonians 5:20 through 21, which is one of the things that
right. that's talking
changed
about
my
the
mind
gift
on. It says,
prophecy.
Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good.
Right. So if it's against the Scripture or it come true, mm-hmm. we know they're not prophets.
Right. Or test it with the character of the person. I heard this taught on. I thought it was really good. It was test the person that comes. So, for example, the stranger who comes and speaks over me, I'm not going to take that to heart too much.
Right.
But if you, my husband, says, listen, I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you this.
Yeah.
And I know your walk with God.
Right.
And I know that you are seeking him, that you're not, as of this point, you're not a false prophet. So I am more likely to listen to what you say and to consider your word spoken
right.
over me.
Right. Heather?
Yes.
I believe we should have Chipotle tonight.
See, I know that's from God. That's from Jesus right there.
I love Chipotle.
No, but the idea there, even with miracles. So we would be soft cessationists. I feel like that means we, as a Southerner, we want to secede from the Union. Weren't they called cessationists as well?
What were they called? They were called secessionists. Yeah.
So we're not secessionists.
Soft cessationists.
Or are we?
Would mean
and there was,
we,
I'm
we
just
believe
kidding.
That these things
the
could.
South will rise. No,
right. And so there's, oh my word. Now is not the time, dear.
I'm just kidding.
Now
oh my goodness.
Time.
Okay.
Right.
So we're soft. We would be
right.
Soft. And I like what the teacher I'd heard in Thessalonians said. I know we can't spend a great deal more time on this, but she said too often, this really hit me, we come from one extreme or the other.
Yes.
We are like only scripture, solo scriptura, only what the Bible says. Like if I'm going to be called to a place, I have to have a verse taken out of context, by the way, that calls me to that location.
Right.
And it's the forgotten God. It's right. Not listening to the Holy Spirit at all. It's not saying, God, speak to me, move upon my heart.
Let's talk about that.
Or we're the other extreme where it's just like what I feel,
forget what
the Bible says.
Yeah, forget what the Bible says. What I feel is what I know is to be true.
And she made the point that she was trained more like I was with the, okay, only the Bible, and almost ignoring the Holy Spirit. And she said, maybe there's a place in between.
Right.
And that really spoke to my heart. That's when I began praying that the Lord would help me hear his voice above all others.
I've had people tell me that whole idea. Yeah. If you've got to find a verse for your calling. I've been pastoring in Las Vegas for 14 years. Never once have I found a verse, and I'm not being sarcastic, that either said preach in Las Vegas or even led me to preach in Las
Vegas. Isn't there something about the city of sin?
So not once. And in reality, if somebody has that strong point of view, maybe my call is not real. Maybe I'm not in Las Vegas. Maybe God wants me to be somewhere else. But I would say after a few decades, maybe I was supposed to. And so I think we have to be very careful. You're right. Not to be an extremist on these things. So this idea of the gift of healings. Can see God heal today? I believe we do see God heal today. Or James chapter 5, wouldn't it be necessary, right? And so I would be kind of a soft cessationist in some of those areas. I've got a lot of friends who would be strong cessationists, and I respect that point of view. I have some that would not. So that's what we would say about the gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts, or what we would call the seven gifts from Romans chapter 8, or what we call the five gifts from Ephesians chapter 4, or what we would understand as those gifts that may have ceased.
Well, I don't know about you. Do you think we have time to go into the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, or is that going to be a whole other podcast?
I think we can hit on it, and we'll be out.
Okay. Well, we'll go pretty quickly here. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, here's how I'm going to start this conversation off. Way back when I started kind of teaching our membership class at our church, the question that would come up so often with new folks would be, what is the unpardonable sin? What is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? And I remember we give them the answer you told me. The basic, most simple and understandable answer for this is summed up in this one word. It is unbelief. The unpardonable sin, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, it is unbelief. So can a Christian commit this sin? Ultimately, the answer is no. You may be worried about it, but you cannot, because you've already believed at some point, if you're a Christian, you have believed that Jesus was acting upon and filled with and doing his miracles by the Holy Spirit's power.
Yes.
That he was of God, that he was the one that was the Holy Spirit's work. They're taking him. He was fulfilling the ministry from baptism on, that he said, I am fulfilling all of this. And he began doing miracles and leading up to the cross, which is ultimately the way that we receive salvation.
So this the reason we even understand this concept is because in the book of Matthew chapter 12, Jesus is very upset with these religious leaders, the Pharisees, and Jesus is performing all kinds of miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pharisee says, I know who's doing this. I know you're doing this through the power of the devil. You know, that's not great.
Don't
accuse people of doing stuff through the power of the devil.
Whether it's their political party.
Oh, my goodness.
You accuse of being pure evil or,
or
another ministry.
You just have to be very careful to look at somebody and say, you are the tool of the devil.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't know everything. And maybe you need to be careful. And so specifically, these very religious people were looking at Jesus saying, you're a tool of the devil. And Jesus says, whoa, you need to cut it out. The reason you do is because everything will be forgiven of mankind. Everything will be forgiven of mankind. Except for this, those who blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Holy Spirit, against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaketh against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So this makes Christians very nervous. Oh, my goodness. I've counseled Christians. Maybe, Pastor, I've committed the sin against the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And if I blaspheme the Holy Spirit, then I'm damned to hell. And this is a thing. In fact, you can Google on YouTube, blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, and there are celebrities and a bunch of people that have looked into cameras and say, yeah, I officially blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Now my soul is damned to hell. Well, look, none of that is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is attacking the works of God, the Holy Spirit, and attributing them to the devil. What is that? Like you said, it's unbelief. It's purposefully stated unbelief. Mm-hmm. What Jesus was saying is that there aren't magic words to get saved, and there aren't magic words to damn you. It's a heart belief that leads to words that of a prayer to salvation, or yes, it's heart belief that leads to words that are damnable words.
Yes,
it matters what the heart
convicting
believes.
Convicting you of sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Right.
That Jesus is a way to heaven, and convicting you to make that decision to accept Him. When you choose to reject that, it's not truth, it's not from God,
right,
then that's what it is. I've got a quote here by William Evans I think really states this well, because it is a little confusing. Well, if it's saying that Jesus is the only way to heaven, he does say you'll be forgiven for blasphemy against the Son of Man. That's one that always gets tricky, but here's what explains it a little bit more. Sins against the Son of Man may be forgiven because it was easily possible, by reason of his humble birth, lowly parentage, etc., to question the claims he put forth to deity. But when, after Pentecost, that's the Holy Spirit coming, and presented, the Holy Spirit came and presented to every man's conscience evidence sufficient to prove the truth of these claims, the man who then refused to yield to Christ's claims was guilty of resisting, insulting, and that amounts to blaspheming the testimony of the whole Godhead, of which the Spirit is the executive. That's, again, from William Evans. I thought that was helpful,
yeah,
in explaining that.
Well, and here's the question. The question is, can someone repent of unbelief? Or another way to say it is, can someone repent of the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, or saying no to the Holy Spirit, or attributing the works of the devil, of God to the devil? The answer to all those questions is yes. Yes, you can repent. So remember, the sin that sends somebody to hell is unbelief.
Mm.
When the Bible says repent of your sins, it doesn't mean that a sinner has to sit down and be like, okay, Jesus, when I was 5 years old, I stole this. When I was 6 years old, I lied to my sister. When I was 8 years old. No, it's not repent of your sins. It's repent of your sin, the sin of unbelief. The idea here is they are repenting. I was an unbeliever, blaspheming the Holy Spirit and the work of, that he was doing in my heart. Now I repent of that unbelief. I ask God to forgive my sin of unbelief. I'm asking you right now to cleanse my unbelief,
mm-hmm,
and make me a believer. I believe. I have a change of mind that, mm-hmm, now will result in a lifelong change of action. And so this touches into the concept of repentance, repentance of the sin of unbelief, repenting of the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And now you say, well, it says that it shall not be forgiven him.
Yeah.
That's true. If you die in the sin of unbelief,
yeah,
if you die without repenting of the sin of unbelief, if you die, mm-hmm, in the sin of unbelief, it will not be forgiven you. You,
yeah,
will spend eternity in the lake of fire.
And can I just say to the person who's worried, did I commit to the fact that you're worried about it shows evidence that the Holy Spirit is with you, that you are sensitive to his work, that you're not saying it's of the devil, that you are sensitive and you have believed on that. So
absolutely true. You don't have to
your
worry.
Your worry itself is proof.
Is proof, yeah. So all you have to do is understand, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm, and thou shalt be saved.
Yeah. Closing, I will say this is not the sin and death which it can be confused in. That's later on in the passage. And that's something for the Christian not to harden their heart against God's leading, or God might take you home early. If you're not going to repent, child, and you keep wandering into sin, I'm eventually going to bring you home so that you don't go further into that. So it is not not the same as blasphemy of the Holy
Spirit.
Completely
and utterly true. Now, look, we've got a very special message here on our Facebook wall. Thank you so much. And I want to encourage anybody who's out there to go ahead and five star us on iTunes and give us a good review.
Yeah, that helps more people find us. You want to get this podcast out there so more people can hear the truth and engage in these conversations. Give us 5 stars.
This really just blessed our hearts. When Jennifer contacted us on Facebook, she said, I just started listening to the Bible Talks podcast. I had seen something on Facebook about episode 27, Praying the Scripture, and finally listened to it. Then I went back to episodes 1 and 2. I'm really enjoying them. I found myself smiling through the whole thing. Thanks for putting these out there.
That made us smile, Jennifer. Thank you.
Yeah, Jennifer, keep listening and share this podcast. There are already many people who are listening, but there are a lot more who don't. And we would love to be able to help them understand the Bible in a better way.
Thank you for listening to episode 31 of the Bible Talks with Josh and Heather. Now, if you'd like to connect with us further, be sure to like our page on Facebook, The Bible Talks with Josh and Heather. And like Josh just said, make sure you rate and review our podcast on iTunes.
Yes, there's one thing you can do for us that would be helpful. Go to iTunes and rate us as a 5-star and review us by putting a few sentences about how amazing we are.
Yes. All right. So on our next episode, Josh, what are we going to be talking about?
Next episode is a bonus episode.
So it's not number 32.
No, this is not number 32. This is the first bonus episode we've ever done because we're not going to be talking about the Bible on the Bible Talks.
It's just out there in the podmosphere.
We're going to just put this out there in the podmosphere.
It's actually,
we're going to kind of talk about the trip we took to Disney World with our family in June. And we're going to give you some great tips if you're ever thinking about going to Disney World. So you might be listening to this years from now, but listening to the Bible Podcast. Talks podcast, and then you go back and listen to this, you'll get some great tips and reviews on our trip. And by the way, it's just going to be an entertaining, fun episode.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. And remember,
when the Bible talks,
we better listen.